Now, we just learned that the krichedike, the crawling things, went into the teva, like cockroaches, water bugs, mousies. And a person could think, you know, I mean, why did a mouse have to go into the teva? I mean, wouldn't we be better off without a mouse? Ask your mother if it's better in the house to have a mouse or not a mouse. Mommy would say, I don't want a mouse in my house. I want a house without a mouse. That would be very, very good if I had no mice in my house. I mean, my house. And also no cockroaches and no water bugs. Mommy would be the happiest in the world. But we know there are such things in the house like a cockroachy and a water buggy and a mousy. Now the question is, where did these come from? Well, they came out of the teva because there were such things in the teva. And who said they should go in the teva? The neighbors just said they should go into the teva. Wait a minute. We could say, why not, during the mabul, get rid of all these kind of mousies and cockroaches and water bugs, and the world would be a better place. You wouldn't have to buy all the stuff to get rid of them, or call the exterminator man, or hear mommy scream, a mouse, hee. The answer is, of course,
buy a cat.
Oh, you mean the cat would be happy. That's the way the cat will get fat. He'll eat a mouse running around the house. What else? Yes?
That's part of the world.
That is part of the world. Well, that is a very philosophical statement. Listen, and I'll tell you. Because this is a story that happened. It's a true story. I heard it from the man that it happened to. And it teaches us this point over here. As we know, everything that Hashem made has its own shlichus. It has its own job. Hashem did not make anything in the world just for nothing. There's nothing extra or wasted. There's nothing here that doesn't have a reason, a purpose. And it has a job to do in Hashem's world. Every single thing in the world is like that. Even a mouse. Yeah, but what could a mouse possibly do? Well, I'll tell you one certain thing. I'm not saying this is true for all mice, but it shows that even a mouse can do something very, very good and important and even help a person and even save a person. A mouse could save a person. You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
This is the story about the mouse that saved the person. A few years ago, and this is a true story, I'm not going to say names, but I want to tell you what happened. There's a certain man, and his business is watches. He travels far away to places like Switzerland, and over there he goes to the places where they make watches, and they make for him special his own kind of watches. They make them there, and I think he travels to France and Japan and different places, and different places they make him watches. They're very good watches. Now, for him to travel to the faraway place, it costs money. For him to stay in the hotel, it costs money. For him to take time and go and travel and get these places to make the watches, he's got to pay him a lot of money. Because he doesn't order one or two watches, he orders thousands of watches. Yeah, but Rabbi Burstyn, how can he wear 1,000 watches on his arm? Well, of course, he sells them. And he doesn't sell them to people one by one. He sells them to big stores. And the stores will say, oh, yes, we'd like to buy 1,000 of your watches to put in our stores. And there are different kinds of stores. So he goes to the different stores, to the main offices, and they order sometimes 5,000 watches because they sell them all over the country. So his business is dealing with a lot of watches. Now, the way it works is that there's a lot of money that has to be spent. And then, where does he get the money back? How does he make the money? The store has to pay him the money. He pays the factories. He brings over the watches to the stores, and then he'll get money from the stores, and hopefully he will be able to live from the money that he makes from buying and selling these watches. Now, what happened was this. At this time, he was only dealing with smaller stores. They would buy 100, they would buy 500, sometimes 1,000, that's the most. And he was trying now to get a deal with a very big kind of a department store that has a lot of places all over the place, all over the country. And he was trying to make a deal for thousands of watches with them. But every time he called up, or every time he tried to send a letter or get an appointment, they always said, well, we're not really interested. We have all kinds of different watches in our store. We don't need your watch, so we're not interested. You can try back in a month or two. And then, you know, a month or two later, he would call up, or he would somehow try to get an appointment, and they would say, well, no, we're not really interested now. Finally, after a couple of years trying to get an appointment with his store, finally, a woman who was the head of that department, she said, you know what? I would like you to come down on Tuesday afternoon around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll make an appointment. And I think now we're interested in your watches, because he sent like information or an advertisement, and they were interested in buying his watches. And he knew that if he would get a deal that they should buy his watches, they could order thousands. I mean, it would be a wonderful thing for him to make business with his store. He was very excited, and he went to the store, to the main office, to a very important section of offices, and he waited there in the waiting room, and finally this woman who was the head of the department came, and she brought him into her office. Now, her office, where it was, like even when you remember in the Teva, there are rooms that open to a big room. Remember that? Well, she had her own desk in her own room, but it opened to a big room with a lot of desks, a lot of different secretaries and workers. So it was like a room inside of a very big room with a lot of people working there. And they were talking for a while, and he brought his, like he has like a notebook that shows the different watches, the pictures of them, and he has real watches with him, and he's showing them. And she's very interested, and she says, okay, I think we're ready to buy 10,000 watches. Now, the way it works is this, that he already paid the factory for the 10,000 watches, which means he's got a big debt. And he must sell these watches and get his money back and make money extra in order to live. Right? Okay, now, he would arrange to get the 10,000 watches. So first, he has to pay the money. And the store would pay him money, but they pay it out over a few weeks. But it would be a very good deal, because at one shot to sell so many watches, it'll be a wonderful thing. He'll make money for his family and be able to live. The last thing they have to do is sign a contract, a special paper the woman will give him. As soon as he signs it, then they are able to get all of those watches to the store, and then they're going to start paying the watches. For the watches. But as soon as he signs the paper, it means the watches belong to them. Do you understand? And they will make the arrangements, they will be able to get all the watches. So it's a very big thing to sign that paper. So he's very excited, because she went now to get the paper out of her drawers, or out of her file cabinet, it's called. And now she's coming to the table to sign the paper. And she's taking out a pen, and she goes to the desk, she puts it on the desk, he reaches for the pen, he's about to sign it, and all of a sudden, she starts to scream, ah, ah, and she jumps up on the desk. She's screaming. What was it? She saw a little mouse. Yes, in that office, all of a sudden there was a mouse. And she screamed. And the mouse was running around her desk. She got so afraid, she wanted to run out of the office. She jumped off the table, and she goes running out of her office part into the big office where all the people were. And she's screaming. And she says, "A mouse!" And the mouse also ran out of the office. Now, there were a lot of people working out there, and especially the ladies that were working out there got very afraid of the mouse, and they started running out of the whole office. They started running to get their coats to run out of the building. And this woman starts running out of the building too. She's running down the hallway. Now, the man who had the watches says, well, let's sign the paper. I mean, he has to sign, she has to sign, but they have to do it together. And she just left it there. And he's not going to sign without her signing, because it doesn't mean anything. What about the paper? She says, hey, come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. She got so scared of the mouse, and she ran away. She probably went home. He couldn't find her. He says, look, you know, who could believe this is happening in this fancy office in a very important store, that a mouse is running and everybody runs out, and the head of the whole department, this big lady executive, is also running out, and that's it, finished. This whole deal is finished until tomorrow, but who knows if tomorrow they want to see him. Hopefully they will. And he went home, and of course he was very disappointed, but he says, look, at least tomorrow I have another chance. Now, who believes in Hashkacha Pratis? Who believes that everything is from Hashem? Who believes also that not only what happens is from Hashem, but even when it happens, even time, even when it happens on the clock or on the calendar, all of these things are from Hashem. Like it says in Tehillim, a pasuk, "Biyadcha itoisai," your times. I'm sorry. It says "Biyadcha itoisai." It says, "My times are in your hands. Whatever happens to me, what time it happens even, is in Hashem's hands." Now listen to what happened. Are you ready? This is very, very interesting thing. Just that day, there was big news that this store that the man had gone to, not only this store, all of the stores that belonged to this department store chain, which like there were hundreds of stores, the whole thing went bankrupt, which means they lost their money. People found out that they were in big debt, that they couldn't pay for even the things they had. And there was a big emergency with this company, and they were even going to fire a lot of people because they couldn't pay them. And all of the things they had in this store that they owed money, like clothes, they had to pay for the clothes, or the watches that they already had, or all of the different things they sold, coats, and they sold shoes. They owed money to all these people. They couldn't pay them. In other words, all of the stuff they had in their store, they could not pay for the people that gave it to them. And it would take them years before they would pay for it. Now, Kinalach, what does this mean? The man, he said, look, Hashem saved me. If I would have signed the paper, and the woman would have signed the paper, according to the law, all of those 10,000 watches would belong to the store. They would be allowed to get them. When would the man get paid for them? In a couple of years. He would have to be without his money for a couple of years, which means he paid already for the 10,000 watches to be made. It's on his cheshbon. When we get his money back? In a few years. Would that be a good business deal, or would that ruin his whole business? That would ruin his whole business. What saved him from that happening? You know what saved him from that happening? A mouse that came running out. And he sees, look, Hashem saved me through a mouse. The mouse was the shliach. If that mouse wouldn't have come right then, I would have signed the paper. She would have signed the paper. The store would have the reshus, the right, to make all the arrangements to get the watches, and I would have been out all of that money, and I wouldn't ever think to get it back for a few years, if I'm lucky. Here, because the mouse ran out, I couldn't sign, she couldn't sign, the whole thing couldn't happen, and that way all the watches are still mine, and I can sell it to other stores that have the money to be able to give to me. So we see, Kinalach, that first of all, everything in the world has a job to do, and sometimes you see what the job is, even from a thing like a mouse, and also even when, the time that something happens, this is also from Hashem. In the time of the Alter Rebbe were two great Goyish nations that were fighting. One was Russia and the other was France. The leader of Russia was the Tsar, Nikolai. And the leader of France was Napoleon. The Alter Rebbe said he wants the Russians to win the war. Because even though Nikolai was not at all a good person, he was very mean and did a lot of not nice things. But he said, it's going to be better for the Yidden to be with Nikolai as their king, as their leader, as their Goyisha leader. Of course, Hashem is the king of the Yidden. But if they have to have a place in a country to live and a leader in a country, he says it's better to live. It's better to have Nikolai to be the king because the Yidden will be from to learn Torah and do mitzvahs if Nikolai is the king. If Napoleon is the king, there's a big danger to the Yidden. Because Napoleon, the way his country was everybody could do whatever they want. And a lot of Yidden, Chas V'Shalom, would go away from Torah and mitzvahs with the kind of way he ran his country. And it was, even though he was nicer in a certain way, it was more dangerous for the Yidden. In other words, Nikolai had very strict rules. But with this strict rules, with this way that he had of strict rules, in the end, it would be better for the Yidden to keep Torah mitzvahs. By Napoleon, he said, everybody could do whatever they want. And I'm not going to explain everything about that, but sometimes that's more dangerous than strict rules. So the Alter Rebbe decided he wants the Russians to win the war. But there was another tzaddik in the Alter Rebbe's time, also a great tzaddik, and he said he wants France to win the war because he saw certain things in the way Napoleon ran his country that he thought it would be better for the Yidden. As we know, even tzaddikim can sometimes argue or have a difference of the way they see things. It doesn't mean they don't like each other. It doesn't mean they're not friends. But sometimes they see different, like Hillel and Shammai. On the first night of Hanukkah, Hillel says, you should light one candle. Shammai says, no, you should light 8 candles the first night of Hanukkah. The second night of Hanukkah, Hillel says, you should light 2 candles. And Shammai says, no, you should light 7 candles. I mean, they're arguing. They have a different way of seeing things. But still, they were good friends. Now the Alter Rebbe and this other tzaddik, they were good friends, but they had a different way of seeing things, how the Yidden would be in these different countries with these different kings. So the Alter Rebbe wanted the Russians to win. The other tzaddik wanted the French to win. Now there's a problem. What do we learn? Tzaddik Gezer v'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem. When a tzaddik says, this is the way it's going to be, Hashem listens to the tzaddik, right? If a tzaddik says, this is what's going to be, or a tzaddik gives a bracha, that's the way it's going to be. There's a koyach in the words of a tzaddik. No, wait, there's a problem over here. The Alter Rebbe says that the Russians should win. So Hashem has to listen to the Alter Rebbe. And the other tzaddik says the French should win. So Hashem has to listen to the other tzaddik. They're both tzaddikim. What's going to happen over here? So they made up between themselves. Now, we don't understand the ways of tzaddikim exactly, and we don't understand the way of Hashem, But these tzaddikim knew there would be a problem if they were going to each one say, this is the way it's going to be. They made up between themselves that since Rosh Hashanah is going to come soon, whoever blows shofar the first on Rosh Hashanah, whichever tzaddik blows the shofar the first, his side will win. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the koyach and the bracha for the whole year, the beginning of the new life of the whole year, coming into the world. Whoever blows the shofar the first on Rosh Hashanah, his side is going to win. All right? So what happened? The other tzaddik, he didn't sleep the whole night. He didn't want to wake up late. The very earliest time that he could, he went to the mikveh already. He had the minyan waiting at the shul to begin the very first time that you're allowed to begin the davening. And they davened so fast. Of course, they davened every word, but they davened so fast. And, of course, they did, there's a long Shmoneh Esrei in the Maksir, they did it so fast. And Chazaras Hashatz, they did it so fast. Then they come to Kriyas HaTeira, and they read the Teira so fast. I mean, they took it out of the Arna Kodesh and they gave a kush and they put it on the bima. Everything was so fast. Calling the aliyahs, it was so fast. And they did Hagba and Galila and the Haftarah. And then there are different psukim to say before blowing the shofar. They did it so fast. And they said the brachas and the shofar so fast. And finally, this other tzaddik, finally this other tzaddik blew the shofar. Early in the morning. Very early. But the Alter Rebbe blew shofar before him. By the Alter Rebbe, he blew shofar before this tzaddik. Why? Because the Alter Rebbe woke up in the morning and he blew the shofar. He woke up and he blew the shofar. Of course, I'm sure he said Mayde Ani and he washed Negel Vasser or whatever you have to do it in a halakhic way. But he blew shofar right away. Now, this is explaining to you L'chatchila Ariber, the saying from the Rebbe Maharash. One way is to go in the regular way, like the other tzaddik. He went in the regular way. Okay, he went fast, but you know, everything was in its place. You have a minyan, and you daven, and you say all the different things of the davening. Finally, you get to the shofar, so you blow the shofar. What did the Alter Rebbe do? You go straight for the point. L'chatchila Rebbe, you go over everything, straight for what you have to do. He woke up, he blew the shofar. Finished. That is one way to explain L'chatchila Rebbe. Another way of L'chatchila Rebbe to explain to you, well, let's say you have to get from here to the other side of the city. Okay? You have to get from here to one side of the city. One way, of course, is to walk. It's going to take you a long time. You want to go faster? You get in a car. But with a car, there are signals. You have to stop. There's traffic sometimes. It might be slow. You might run out of gas. Whatever it is, to get from here by car to the other side of the city, it's going to be faster than walking, but still, it might not be as fast as something else. What else could you do to get from here to the other side of the city?
On a plane.
On a plane or on a helicopter. You fly. You just fly over everything. You don't have to deal with cars, traffic. You don't have to deal with signals. You just go over everything. L'chatchila river. You just jump over it. Shh. Okay. In other words, jumping over L'chatchila river, you don't have to deal with all the problems. You jump over. Now, that's begashmias. That's explaining the way in the world. The way it is in ruchnias, the Yetzer Hara can give a person a lot of problems. They can make you to be a big bal gaiva, or they can make you to be wild, or the Yetzer Hara can make you to be sad, or the Yetzer Hara can make you to be mean, or to make you to be fighting, or arguing, or chas v'shalom stealing. There's all kinds of things of the Yetzer Hara, of course, we know. Now, One way to deal with the Yetzirah is say, oi, stealing is bad. Let's talk about stealing. Being mean is very bad. Let's talk about being mean. Or being chutzpahdik is very bad. Let's talk about how bad it is to be chutzpahdik. Or another way of the Yetzirah is to be wild. Oh, it's terrible. I'm going to explain to you how terrible it is to be wild. This is one way of dealing with the Yetzirah. Another way is, you know what you do? Another way is forget about how bad everything is. Just think about how good Hashem is and how good Torah is. And if you're learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and you're being connected with Hashem, you won't have time. You won't be interested. You won't at all have any connection with doing something bad. It's like the Baal Shem Tov says, you go into a dark room. It's all dark. You could say, oh, it's dark. I can't stand it. I can't see anything. It's terrible that it's dark. Oh, yuck. I don't want it to be dark. I want to get rid of the dark. So you take a big stick and you start beating the air to get rid of the dark. Get out. Get out. I don't want you to be here. It is dark. I don't like you here. Get out. And you start hitting it with a stick. Now, of course, it's funny, but it's not a joke. We know the stick has no koyach, it has no power to do anything to the dark. The dark does not go anywhere because of the stick. The same thing, a person starts screaming about how bad this is and about how bad that is, and how terrible this is and how terrible that is, it doesn't necessarily do anything to get rid of the bad thing. Not necessarily. Sometimes there's a place for it. But as a general way to run a person's life, it doesn't necessarily get rid of the bad. You know what's the other way when you come in a dark room and you want it to be not dark? Forget about the dark. What can you do to get rid of the darkness?
Take a candle.
Take a candle. Make a light. And without even thinking about all of the other things that we spoke about, as soon as you bring in a light, what happens? The darkness can't even be there. It disappears without a fight. And the more light that you have there, the less darkness can be there, and the darkness just goes away by itself, automatically. This is also l'chatchila ribber. All kinds of things are bad and terrible and dark. Forget about it. Go right to the light. And that's the way to help all the other things. Now the Zayar says a very interesting thing. It's like a chicken. Mechatchila Reber is like a chicken. You know what a chicken does? I'll tell you what a chicken does. And it's very interesting. Listen, this is a Zayar. This is from Kabbalah. A chicken has feathers. And the feathers have little, like, parts. You know, the way a feather is. Little parts, little lines. And the dirt gets into the feathers. And the dirt gets into all of those little parts of the feathers in between the little lines. And the dirt sees, And the chicken sees the dirt. The chicken says, I want to get rid of this dirt. I don't want my feathers to be dirty and dusty. I want to be a clean chicken. So how do you get rid of the dirt? Now one way is to take each feather and to take a brush and to start brushing each feather and getting out every little piece of dirt. And it takes so long because, you know, the dirt gets really in there and in between, and it's so tedious and it's so time, you know, takes so much time. That's one way to get rid of the dirt. But the Zohar says, how does the chicken get rid of the dirt? It stands up, it shakes itself off, it just shakes itself off, and the dirt flies off. In other words, you don't go right for the dirt where the dirt is. You go to a koyach that's higher than the dirt. What's the koyach higher than the dirt? The chicken itself just shakes itself. And all the dirt just goes flying off the chicken. In other words, you go for something higher and it takes care of the rest. That's l'chatchila river. Don't go for the thing that's low. Go for the thing that's higher, and it'll take care of the low thing. Now, the same thing also. Mashiach is coming. Are we going to wait till Mashiach comes to be close to Hashem, to learn Torah and do mitzvahs? Because when it says when Mashiach comes, that's when we're really going to learn Torah, and we're really going to do mitzvahs in the best way, and we're really going to be close to Hashem. Now, are we going to wait for Mashiach to come, or do we want all of these things now? Okay, when Mashiach comes, of course, it might be easier to do this, but right now, we have to learn Torah. Just like Mashiach was here already, we have to do mitzvahs just like Mashiach was here already, and we have to be connected to Hashem, like just like Mashiach is here already. That's l'chatchila river. Some people behave like Mashiach is here already.